It's great to see you, and your warm welcome to Paignton Baptist Church. And I'd like to pass over to Pastor Stephen, who's got some notices, surprise, surprise.
I have notices to show that we're alive. Who's alive this morning? Well, most people have put their hands up. That's an encouragement. A couple of notices. Firstly, this coming Wednesday is Wednesday worship. I didn't put it on the scrolling thing, but it is Wednesday worship. Fourth Wednesday in the month. Time to seek the Lord, enjoy his presence, worship him in spirit and truth. It's not a service, it's a time to worship. Eileen's, bless her, she's playing this time. Leslie's going to be singing, because I can't sing. So Leslie's singing, Eileen's playing, and chosen souls for us. And it's a beautiful time just to be in the Lord's presence. So come along if you can. 7:30, usually we're here for about an hour or so, and it's for many people it's the highlight of the month, because it's just time to be with him, nothing else to be achieved or done. Another great thing to look forward to, and you haven't got to wait long, only about 8 hours, tonight at 6:30 we have the third in our series of four video teaching about the Word, about the Bible, how we treat it, how we access it, how we apply it, and how we don't do that. And it's been really interesting so far. And the notes for sessions 1 and 2 are outside on the table. If you'd like to see the videos for 1 and 2, do speak to Mark, who's just here. If you hand up, Mark, thank you. So you don't, you know, don't feel you've missed out. You can watch those online. But do come along this afternoon. We're not going to be in a position to do the harvest lunch because of we don't really have a coordinator and a few essential people, but we have a wonderful team of people, some of you who've done it before and others who've offered it for the first time, to set up and wash up and everything else. So I wanted to say a big thank you to the people on my list. Thank you that you signed up, because most people just ignore these. You put them out to sign up and nobody signs up. So I want to thank you for signing up, and I'm afraid I'm going to keep it. Because having signed up once, I now know you're willing. So when we next have the opportunity to do something that requires willing volunteers, I know who to come to. So, but seriously, thank you so much. And we look forward to doing more things together, sharing together, just like we did yesterday afternoon. Over to you.
First of all, if I start, I'd like to say a big thank you to many of you about prayers for Rowena and myself. As you may well know, she had a major operation on Monday afternoon and has been in hospital all week. But I had a phone call at 4:30 on Monday from the surgeon saying the keyhole surgery had been a great success. I wonder if I've seen her each day this week. I'm going to see the nurses. The nurses say, oh, she's the one that's doing very well. So I thought, oh, well, we'll have that. That's good. And she's due out this afternoon at 3 o'clock. So we continue to pray for her as she recovers at home. So that will be good. But thank you for your prayers. It's made a huge difference in a whole number of ways that I haven't got time to say to you this morning. But thank you. And thank the Lord for his mercy and kindness to us. Okay, let's pray, shall we? Holy Father, we come before you to say thank you because you've been faithful to each one of us in all our different situations. However tough or easy it's been this week, we thank you that you are a faithful God, and we praise you this morning. I pray that you will help us to worship you, to thank you, to know your presence, and we pray too you'll help us to listen to your word as Stephen speaks later on. And we pray you'll help us to obey, that we may be obedient children to your word. We praise you. Amen. Amen. Moses, towards the end of his life, said the following words. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. Oh, praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect. and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. So we'll have three songs and hymns of worship now, which will lead on one from the other. So over to Stephen and Claire. Thank you. Please stand or sit as you wish.
Bless you.
It's a privilege to remember this morning David and Josie Butler's diamond wedding. I got it wrong before. I nearly got it wrong again. Diamond wedding. Last Thursday. And I worked out that when they got married, I was 15. So it's quite a long time ago. 60 years. Wonderful. I'm sure they'd want to acknowledge the Lord's goodness over those 60 years in all the ups and downs there must have been in that time. And it's our pleasure to acknowledge those sentiments, say how much loved David and Josie and respected are as members of our church. I guess most of you know them quite well. They asked if we could sing. A particular hymn, but first of all, I'd like to pray. So, shall we pray again? I thank you for David and Josie. I thank you for their marriage. I thank you for their children. I thank you for your blessing. I thank you for the love they have for you, faithfulness to your church, and love and care for each one of us. They truly are much loved people. But Lord, we want to acknowledge your goodness, your faithfulness. And this morning, we acknowledge that. We say, great is your faithfulness, dear Lord. Thank you. And we pray you'll continue to bless them, both as individuals and as a couple. Please continue to make them a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, they've asked if we could sing Lord for the Years. And if you sing the words, you'll realize how appropriate this hymn is now. So shall we sing again? Stand or sit as you wish. Thank you.
Cheers!
continue our worship as we have our offering. If you're a guest, that's fine. Please let the bag pass you by. This is for our work here as a church. Thank you. Indeed, we do say, Lord, great is your faithfulness to us. Whether we have a lot or little, we thank you that all good things come from you. We thank you for the privilege of giving this back to you, and I pray that you'll bless it and use it to your glory. Amen. Our children are now going to leave us with Angela and Dee. So that's great. Have a great time. I believe you're doing Samson. So that will be a great story. Can we just pray for the children as they go? Father God, I thank you for each child that comes to this church at any time. And we pray you'll bless them richly. And I pray, Lord, that you'll encourage them. Bless Dee and Angela and each child, Lord. May they feel at home among your people. Amen. We're now going to have the word and the reading. I think the reading happens partway through the talk, but I'd like to pray for Liz as she does the reading, and of course Stephen as he gives the word. So let's pray again. Lord, as your children, we come before you to hear your word to us by name. We know that you love us. We know that you call us by name and you want to speak to us. We pray you may listen to what you say. And as I said earlier, Lord, may we be obedient children as we seek to follow you. Anoint Stephen as he preaches your word and Liz as she reads your word. And we look to you, Lord. And to you should be all the praise and all the glory. Amen.
Comes quite towards the end, Liz, so you can relax for the moment. So our message today comes as a result of requests. Now, we don't usually do requests. This isn't a radio program or call-in, but today we do. Ian asked if we could look, Ian White at the back, asked if we could look at Samson. He's an interesting character. Who's ever read anything about Samson? Just to give me an idea. Some of you, others not. For those, as I say each time, for those who've never heard about Samson, you are in for a treat. And the hope is you'll go back home and think, right, get me Bible. I've got to read more about this crazy, crazy man, Samson. He was one of what the Bible calls judges, who led Israel after Joshua had died. Joshua is the one who takes over from Moses, bringing the people into the promised land. And the people had no king at this time. And they were, well, to be honest, they were appalling. If you read the story, the Israelites were appalling. God had looked after them, provided for them, and they kept on worshipping other gods. They broke the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the law of the Lord, the covenant relationship with their God. They kept on breaking it. And so these judges were appointed by God, filled with his Holy Spirit. Some of them focused on bringing the Israelites back to their covenant relationship with God. Others focused on defeating their enemies. And they are a wonderful, interesting mix of men and women. So do have a look at the book of Judges. But there is more written about Samson than anybody else in Judges. And at the time that he comes on the scene, we are told the Israelites had done evil in the eyes of the Lord, and so he delivered them into the hands of the Philistines. And the Philistines ruled over them for 40 years. We can't go into the history today, but it's really interesting that the Philistines living in Philistia, they occupied the land that is now Gaza. Exactly that same piece of land. That enmity between Israel and the inhabitants of Gaza, Palestine, Philistia, all the way back thousands of years ago. It's no, you know, there will never be a permanent peaceful solution. All you can hope for is peace in the sense of what we're all praying for, a ceasefire and so on, an end to the suffering. But they are at odds and have been for thousands of years. God has delivered the Israelites into the hands of the Philistines. They've only got a small part of the land, and yet they're ruling over the whole nation. How does that work? Because God delivered them over to them. But he still wants to save Israel. He's still got love for his people. And he wants to do something about this situation. And of all people, he chooses Samson. And as I'll say later on, I don't see how he chose Samson. If it was up to me, I wouldn't go near him with a barge pole. The story of Samson starts, really interestingly, as we've heard before, with other Old Testament characters. It starts with an unnamed woman who is married to Manoah, and the woman is sterile and childless. And we've heard it so many times. Hannah, mother of Samuel, was barren. Abraham's wife, Sarai, was barren. And as you hear what happened to this woman, it reminds me of another barren woman from the New Testament, Elizabeth, mother of John the Baptist. So we hear a certain man of Zorah named Manoah from the clan of the Danites had a wife who was childless, unable to give birth. The angel of the Lord appeared to her and said, "You are barren and childless, but you are going to become pregnant and give birth to a son. Now see to it that you drink no wine or other fermented drink, and you do not eat anything unclean. You will become pregnant and have a son, whose head is never to be touched by a razor, because the boy is to be a Nazarite, dedicated to God from the womb. He will take the lead in delivering Israel from the hands of the Philistines." The woman gave birth to a boy and named him Samson. He grew, and the Lord blessed him, and the Spirit of the Lord began to stir in him while he was in Manadan between Zorah and Eshtiel. So it starts in Judges 13, and our reading later on will be from chapter 16. There's a lot you can read at home. I hope you'll enjoy it. Now, I don't know if any of you, my age or older, have got books from your childhood. Maybe some of you have kept them. Maybe they got thrown out and lost on the various house moves. But I was thinking about this, doing Samson today. And I must have been very young when I first came across the story of Samson. This is my children's Bible. And at the time when I had this, there weren't many children's books around. There weren't many Christian books around. So I think everybody had this particular children's Bible at the time. And as I thought about the story of Samson, I could picture in my mind certain pictures of the stories. And we're going to see them in a moment. And if you can get the PowerPoint ready, Haley, thank you. And I realized the pictures in this book, I've turned to it, I haven't looked at this particular story in here for over 50 years, and I could still see the pictures in my mind. When I looked, I thought, yeah, there they are. I've scanned them in. They won't look very good on the screen because they're scanned in and so on, but I thought I'd bring them and put them up on the screen just so that you can see the value of what you give your children, your grandchildren, your brothers or sisters, what you look at when you are young. It stays with you. And by, I wasn't a Christian until I was 16, but God sowed in truth at an early age. So, first picture, if we can, Haley. This is the picture of mine. He's arm wrestling a lion. Samson starts off in the spectacular by killing a lion with his bare hands. And later on, a swarm of bees makes its carcass their home. And honey is created inside the carcass of this lion. Samson, having seen that picture, then uses it as an inspiration for a riddle that he sets to try and win 30 sets of clothing in a bet with the 30 companions he's given as he's married a young Philistine woman. Not an Israelite woman, a Philistine woman. So there you go. He's there at the wedding do. He's given 30 companions, obviously the tradition in the Philistine way of getting married and so on. And for some reason, he decides he wants to take, well, effectively clothes off them. He wants to bet with them. So he sets them this riddle. Things don't work out because his wife nags him for the answer to the riddle, tells the Philistines, and they give the answer to the riddle. So he owes them 30 sets of clothing. And the way that Samson decides to pay his bet is what? Doesn't go down to the nearest Asda and go to George and get a cheap set of clothing. He kills 30 Philistines, takes their clothes off them, and gives them to the 30 companions. He's not a man you want at a wedding, is he? He said, "You plowed with my heifer," in a very evocative phrase, to these men. "I know what you did. You got to her, you got to my wife. So there we are, you can have your 30 sets of clothing." But he kills 30 people to do it. You can go on to the blank, thanks Haley. Later on, he goes back to his father-in-law, and after this event has happened, and he thinks, "I want to be with my wife." And his father-in-law says, "No, I've given my daughter, your wife, to one of the companions, who are not friends at all. I've given them to them, because you obviously didn't want her. You could have her sister instead." I mean, what are they like? You'd have her sister. Samson decides, "No, I don't want to do that." And he catches 300 foxes. Who knew? And I've never thought about this before. I've read the story before, and I've read the Bible, and some of you have read the Bible the way through. Did you ever think, how did Samson catch 300 foxes? It's difficult to catch one. How did he catch 300? What did he do with them? What did he do? He gets 300 foxes. He ties them up in pairs by their tails. He attaches fiery torches to them. And you can imagine the foxes didn't like that. Tried to get away from the fiery torches. Ran all over the place. He plonks them in the cornfields of the Philistines. Now, 300 foxes, I imagine, covers quite a few acres of grain, I would think. So, of course, these foxes set fire to the entire food stock of the Philistines. They then come to sort him out. This is our next picture, Haley, thank you. This was another picture that was in my mind. You could just about see on that, there's Samson. He has the jawbone of an ass, a donkey, in his hand. We've had stories of donkeys and lions, and now we've had a lion and now a donkey, but this time different story. So he's got the jawbone of a donkey and he kills 1,000 Philistines with it. Now, as a child, of course, I thought these stories were great. Now I'm a bit more concerned about the, you know, the ethics of it all. But he kills 1,000 men with this Philistine. When the and interesting enough, you read in the Bible, the Philistines were so annoyed at losing their, annoyed is a soft word, for losing their corn. When they heard what had provoked it, they killed the father-in-law of Samson's and his daughter. So they, it was a violent time. So that's the end of that story. And then another one. One day, Samson, there's not a picture for this one, Haley, so you won't find a picture for this one. One day, Samson decides, I'll spend the night with a prostitute in the city of Gaza. And the people hear about it, and they surround the place and think, right, we've got him. But in the middle of the night, Samson gets up, goes to the city gate, where all the people are waiting, because it's the only way in and out, and he decides, right, I'll show you. And he picks up the city gate. He pulls the door frame off, the lintels, the bar. He just picks up the gate of the city. I mean, can you imagine? And he walks up a hill, and he walks up the hill that faces Hebron, which is 38 miles east, which is where Israel, and it's, ta-da! The Israelites can all see what I've done. And he put, I mean, you couldn't make it up, could you? So, who is this man? We're told by an angel of the Lord that he's a man called by God to begin to deliver Israel from the hands of the Philistines. And each time that Samson exerts his huge strength, the Bible says the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. It's the Lord who is Samson's superhuman strength. He's not a superhero. He's not like Superman or Batman or anybody else you can think of. He's not a Marvel man. This is God filling him with the Holy Spirit. Without the Spirit of God, he's just like any other man. Now, the Bible tells us that God is using Samson to confront the Philistines because they were ruling over Israel. Even Samson choosing to marry the pagan Philistine bride is of the Lord. Chapter 14, verse 4 says this. God allows him and uses his desires for his purposes. Now we come to the bit, who's heard of Delilah? Delilah, right. Samson and Delilah. I'm sure there must have been a film involving Joan Collins or something, or Elizabeth Taylor. So we come to Delilah. Now, I don't know. I haven't checked. But I can't think anywhere else in the Bible where it says somebody fell in love with someone else, man and a woman. I can't remember that. You might be able to tell me afterwards for homework. You might be able to tell me. I know one. But the Bible tells us that Samson fell in love with Delilah. Delilah, once again, surprise, surprise, is a Philistine woman. And the rulers of Philistine saw this as an opportunity to discover the secret of Samson's strength so they could overpower him, tie him up, and subdue him. They offered her 1,100 shekels of silver. Each one of them, each one of the rulers was going to give her 1,100 shekels of silver. That's 28 pounds, or if you're in modern parlance, 13 kilograms of silver. So it's no surprise, Delilah readily agreed. Can we have the picture up there, if you would? Thank you. This is Delilah. And this is a crazy story as well. You have to read chapter 16 for the whole story. Delilah needs to find out what's going on. So she asks Samson, what's the secret of your strength? Samson tells her the way to remove his strength is by tying him up with 7 fresh bowstrings, thongs, you know, tight ropes, strings, bowstrings, unbreakable, you'd think. And if you tie me up with seven of those, I'll be weak. So she hides men in her room and does exactly that and says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. And the men now come out of their hiding and he snaps the bowstrings just like they were charred flats. And then Samson, for those who are listening on the recording, that's me hitting my head, duh. Samson is then asked again, what's the secret of your strength? And he says, it's new ropes. If you tie me up with new ropes that have never been used, then I wouldn't be able to break free. So she does. And she has men hidden again. And as soon as she says, Samson, the Philistines are upon you, they come out and he goes kabang and breaks the ropes. Wouldn't you have thought Samson would have got the message by now? But he doesn't. He then says, because she nags again, and says, come on, tell me what the secret of your strength is. That if you put my seven braids of my hair into a loom with a pin through, to force them into this frame, that'll be me done. What happens? You could do it this time. So she does that, and then she says, Samson, come on, you could do better. This is, remember, we're coming towards pantomime. My daughter has rung us up for the tickets. Samson! But this is the truth. This is what happened. What happens? He pulls up. His hair is caught tight. The whole thing just blows apart. Now, was Samson really stupid? Or was he just arrogant? Did he think that God's call on him meant he was Superman? He was indestructible. We don't really know. But Delilah gets to him. Eventually, after days of nagging, eventually. She said to him, how can you say I love you when you won't confide in me? This is the third time you've made a fool of me, and you haven't told me the secret of your great strength. With such nagging, she prodded him day after day until he was sick to death of it. So he told her everything. No razor has ever been used on my head, because I have been a Nazarite dedicated to God from my mother's womb. If my head was shaved, my strength would leave me, and I would become as weak as any other man. When Delilah saw that he told her everything, she sent word to the rulers of the Philistines, who must be thinking, cry wolf, mustn't they by now? No, come back. He has told me everything. And this is our picture here. So the rulers of the Philistines returned with the silver in their hands. After putting him to sleep on her lap, she called for someone to shave off the seven braids of his hair, and so began to subdue him. And his strength left him. Then she called, Samson, the Philistines are upon you. He woke from his sleep and thought, I'll go out as before and shake myself free. But he did not know that the Lord had left him. Then the Philistines seized him, gouged out his eyes, took him down to Gaza, binding him with bronze shackles. They set him to grinding grain in the prison. Thank you, Harry. That's the end of that for the moment. I'll wait for the next one. What a fool. When I read this story, it's like sometimes on the TV when you've seen a program before and you honestly think perhaps they might do it differently this time. But it's the same program, so it's the same, bound to be the same. I'm willing, Samson, not to do it. How could it be so stupid? He learned his lesson the hard way. His eyes were removed. He ends up grinding grain in prison. That's why you have to be very careful which bit of the story you do with the children. I said to Angela, over to you. You choose which bit you want to do with Samson's story. It's been really difficult. When Samson woke up, He did not know that God had left him. How insensitive. How come? There are other questions. Why did the Spirit of the Lord come so powerfully upon Samson? How could God use such a fool? This lustful man, ruled by his sexual desires and weak when it comes to a nagging wife, I'm not going to make any comment at that point, but surely God must have been disappointed with Samson when you think how he was chosen and born in the first place. But it's really interesting. At Hebrews 11, which is what we call the roll call of faith, it's one of the letters in the New Testament, there's a long list of people of faith, including Rahab that we've already heard about, and Abraham and various others, heroes of the faith. And what does it say? Verse 32. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, and Jephthah, and David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. He's in the roll call of faith. Samson. And I particularly noted the words there, whose weakness was turned to strength. Liz, could we have our reading now? And we could have our last picture. Haley, please.
Reading from Judges chapter 16, verses 23 to 31, page 260 of the Church Bible. The death of Samson. Now the rulers of the Philistines assembled to offer a great sacrifice to Dagon, their god, and to celebrate, saying, "Our God has delivered Samson, our enemy, into our hands." When the people saw him, they praised their God, saying, "Our God has delivered our enemy into our hands, the one who laid waste our land and multiplied our slain." While they were in high spirits, they shouted, "Bring out Samson to entertain us." So they called Samson out of the prison, and he performed for them. When they stood him among the pillars, Samson said to the servant who held his hand, "Put me where I can feel the pillars that support the temple, so I may lean against them." Now the temple was crowded with men and women. All the rulers of the Philistines were there. And on the roof were about 3,000 men and women watching Samson perform. Then Samson prayed to the Lord, "Sovereign Lord, remember me, please, God. Strengthen me just once more. And let me, with one blow, get the revenge on the Philistines for my two eyes." Then Samson reached towards the two central pillars on which the temple stood, and bracing himself against them, his right hand on one and his left hand on the other, Samson said, "Let me die with the Philistines." And then he pushed with all his might, and down came the temple and the rulers and all the people in it. And thus he killed many more when he died than when he lived. Then his brothers and his father's whole family went down to get him. They brought him back and buried him between Zorah and Eshtaol in the tomb of Manoah, his father. He had led Israel for 20 years.
Thank you, Liz, for reading that so wonderfully. This is all true. This is not, make-believe. And you couldn't write more amazing stories, but this is all true. Samson is blind. He's weak. You can see from our picture here. He's an object of derision. He's a plaything. brought into the temple of Dagon for the entertainment of the thousands of people in the temple and all those on the roof of the temple. Samson, the scourge of the Philistines, has indeed been tied up and subdued, which they put down to their god Dagon, which of course doesn't exist. But they do not know that God's strength is made perfect in weakness. They didn't realize that the hair on his head began to grow again after it had been shaved. So he is in that place, and he does something that there's no evidence in the story that we've read so far. If you look in the chapters, there's no evidence he's done this before. For the first time, Samson does what? Prays. He prayed. Before, if you wanted to kill a lion, the Spirit of the Lord just came on him and he killed a lion. If you want to kill a thousand Philistines, he just did it. This time, rather than just doing it, which has got all sorts of problems for Samson, please God. Liz read it beautifully. Come on. God answers his prayer as he gave up his life. This is the picture I remember in my book. I can see it now in the book. Perhaps it's the small boy that's there. You know, what happened to him? Well, we know what happened to him. He killed many more than he died while he lived. So we'll leave that up for the moment, Hayley. Leave that picture there. What's the application to us? Now, you'll be relieved to know, and not surprised to know, I'm not suggesting you marry an idol worshipper. I don't know if any of you had that in mind, but don't go out and marry an idol worshipper. Don't go and sleep with a prostitute either. Don't go along with a nagging wife to betray your calling from the Lord, so God's will is done. Neither am I suggesting that you go and kill unbelievers. There would be some who think we're still in that sort of, you know, think about the Crusades and everything else. No. You don't go out and kill unbelievers. You don't go and kill followers of other religions. You don't even set fire to their crops, with foxes or otherwise. We live in very different times under a new covenant with the Lord. So what can we learn then? Is it just, well, it's an interesting story. God uses amazing people, but don't understand. Well, he was a man of faith, eventually. In our weakness, God can bring glory to his name if we offer ourselves to him. God turned weakness into strength. That's what it says in Hebrews 11. And in the end, Samson, humbled and weak, prayed to the Lord. God gave him the strength he needed. And once more, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he pushed those two pillars. Apparently, archaeologists have found Philistine temples with two pillars right in the middle, really close together. That's what he did. He stood between those two pillars. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. We need the Holy Spirit. We need the Holy Spirit. We cannot achieve anything. Paul writes, but we have this treasure in jars of clay, to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. We always carry around in our body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be revealed in our body. For we who are alive are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that his life may also be revealed in our mortal body. If people see something of God in you, It's because the Holy Spirit is in you, shining Jesus out of you. And all around us, we see all sorts of people doing amazing things by the power of the Holy Spirit. So God can use us in our weakness. Anybody feeling particularly weak today? Ooh, there we go. There we go. Rowena's feeling particularly weak. But God's strength will be made complete in weakness. Hallelujah. So we can learn that. We can also learn that God will forgive us. He will forgive us and restore us if we come to him in faith. As we've seen, Samson became a hero of faith. I wouldn't have put him in the list. God did. So we can see that God's glory comes for those who put their faith in him. We can all make a fresh start. Whew. Some of us have more fresh starts to make than others, perhaps. But we can all make a fresh start. Samson is an extreme example. A true example, but he's an extreme example to show us if God can forgive and use him. I mean, anybody here killed 1,000 Philistines with the jawbone of a donkey? I mean, is anybody? No, I won't ask the other questions. You haven't. So if God can forgive Samson and use Samson, he can forgive you and use you. Whatever we've done, we can all come to Jesus at the cross to be forgiven and start again. I hadn't thought about it, but just now, look at that picture right now. What does it remind you of? I never thought about that. And that's the third point, because I always have to have 3 points. Where are you positioning yourself? Samson positioned himself there to defeat the enemies. But we position ourselves at the cross to allow God to defeat sin and for us to be alive. This is far better. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is his body, and since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. Let's hold unswervingly to the hope we professed, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together, as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. We are to come to the cross to receive God's grace and forgiveness, washed clean, to be inspired and encouraged to do all that God has called us to do, to spur one another on to love and good deeds. So what has God called you to begin and continue for his kingdom's sake? Does it rely on your strength or his? David Josie won't mind me saying they are much weaker now physically than they were 60 years ago. But we know, those that know them, and the rest of you just have to believe us, they are far stronger in the Lord, filled with the Holy Spirit, able to do far more than they could 60 years ago, because they've let God in more. The more you let God in, the more that God could do through you. Hallelujah. So, what's God calling you to be, to do? It relies on his strength, not yours. So do you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit? We'll pray in a moment. We're told to be filled up daily with the Holy Spirit. Leslie and I, we pray almost every day, fill us again with the Holy Spirit, because we can't do it on our own. And for some of us, we need to position ourselves again at the cross for forgiveness, to remember what Christ did for us. So let's pray, and then we've got a song that will help us respond. Lord, we thank you for the example of Samson, that you are sovereign. You will choose to use who you choose to use. And Lord, you said that you want to use us for your glory. And that if we put our faith in you, Jesus, if we receive your forgiveness, your washing, your cleansing, and we receive your gift of your Holy Spirit, then we can do the things you called us to do. We could do even greater things than Jesus did, which is mind-boggling. So, Lord, I pray, forgive us for what we've done wrong, but also where we've said no to you. I can't do that. Lord, we know that we could do all things through him who gives us strength, through you. Lord, I pray that you would remind us of our calling. I pray that you would fill us today, right now, with your Holy Spirit, that we may live and work to your praise and glory. And we do this together, in family, in friendships, in our church family. We thank you, Lord, that we have a place that we can call home here on earth while we wait to go to heaven, that it is in your family. And we can spur one another on to love and good deeds. We can encourage one another. Lord, we pray, may your kingdom come, your will be done, for your glory. Amen. David left me to choose the song that would follow this message, and the song we're going to sing is When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, When I Look at the Cross. Feel free to sit or to stand, but I do encourage you to look at the cross and think what that means. Thank you. Get rid of that.
Sunday morning, we have a time where we can pray for other people, either quietly or out loud. You may want to pray about the situation in Gaza, as we've just been talking about, that very situation, haven't we? For peace. For peace. For peace in Ukraine. You may want to pray for situations that you're aware of in your own family or our church family. Obviously, I've been praying a lot for my lovely wife, Rowena, but also we have Richard Bunker, who's not well, our lovely Pam, who's not well too, and there are many others too who are poorly. So either quietly or out loud if you wish, just have a short time of prayer. Let's pray.
We'll be right back.
all who suffer in any way, for those who mourn, for those who are ill, for those who struggle. Think particularly of Pam and Richard, Sheila Osborne, and many others, Lord. May your kingdom come, may your will be done in each life. And each one of us, Lord, each one of us here before you, Lord, we pray that you will meet our need. Help us to come back to you. Help us to turn to you. Help us to know your forgiveness, your acceptance, and your power in our lives. Amen. Now, do any of the children have a picture they'd like to show us? If not, that's fine. No, that's fine. Okay. Oh, yes, I do. So, well done, Eric. Well done. That's very brave. Excellent. Well done. Oh, thank you, Eric. Wow. Oh, yeah. Wow. Excellent. Now, if I can get the microphone. Is this on? Okay. Oh, excellent. Very good. That's lovely. It's really good. Could you just turn your picture around so everybody can see it? That's lovely. Oh, our children are so important to us. They're a central part of our lives. And we thank you. Anybody? Well done. Samson. Wow, very good. Anybody want to say anything about their picture or about Samson? Do you want to say something? Yes, well done. Hang on, I need to switch this on, I think. Try again.
I learned that Samson sacrificed himself for the Israelites.
Very good. Well done. That's lovely. Thank you. You want to say anything more? Do you want to say something? You don't have to. No, that's fine. Well done, everybody. Give me a big clap. Very good. Yes. Oh, go and sit yourself down. Well done. That's lovely to see you. You go and sit down. That's great. Wow. That's really good. One of Rowena and I's favorite hymns is this one we're going to close with. There is a hope. Should we sing that together now?
He whispers courage in my ear. that lifts my eyes beyond the beckoning grave to see the matchless beauty of a day divine when I behold his face. When suffering ceases and sorrows die and
there's a prayer team with yellow lanyards around them. Please do come to the front and be happy to pray alongside you and listen to you. There's also refreshments next door as well. I had to close with a blessing from the book of Jude. To him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy, to the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power, and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.